You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 009 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show on 740thefan.com, KFGO.com. I'm Daniel Pinto Gunderson. You can find me on Twitter at PintoKFGO. My co-host, my cohort, Brad the White Shadow Jones. You can find him on Twitter
at the Bison Guy.
And also, you can find him being very angry at me tonight.
Yes.
This is a late recorded podcast, and we're going to hash this out in just a second. Because I think Brad needs a little bit of a therapy session, and I need to.
Okay.
I need a little.
And
bit
you're
of,
the person who's going to give me the therapy.
Well, not
to calm
a therapy.
Me down here, okay?
I'm going to try to calm you down.
Okay.
Okay. And then also, you can get a hold of us if you want to give us some comments, feedback. Pinto.whiteshadowshow@gmail.com. You can email us there. Like we said, we gave out our Twitter handles. You can find us on iTunes under the podcast section, just the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Facebook, we put this on Facebook regularly. We just want whatever comments, feedback, anything you want to talk about. And I've been getting some
good
from friends and family saying, you know, it's really good, it sounds good, and I know you have too.
I've been getting a lot of stuff from your family talking about how smart I am.
Yes. My brother essentially is my family telling you how smart you are.
Pretty much.
And now, when I got here tonight, full disclosure, this is a late. I texted Brad on the way up, and we had been talking about doing the podcast, and he's with his family. Do you have to work tomorrow, by the way?
No.
Okay. So that we'll get into that, but I'm texting him, and he's with his family, and I'm driving back from Kansas and so on and so forth. I tell him 9:30. Well, when I told him 9:30, I think it was probably 3 or 1. I can't remember. It was sometime in the afternoon.
It was early.
Early afternoon.
Yeah.
There is a lot more construction in South Dakota than I first realized.
Okay.
And so then I get through that, and I'm going, okay, maybe I can still make it. And then I'm getting to my apartment, and I'm unloading stuff, and it becomes a issue where I feel bad because I'm not here, but I think I could still make it in relatively good time. And then it just all went pear-shaped. So I apologize for that. I got here late.
You should apologize. I text you at 9:33.
It's about 10:30 right now. We're just getting to this.
9:33, text you. How about a text at 9:30 that says, hey, I'm going to be late. So what do you tell me at 9:30? Hang tight. Yeah. 10:20, you finally walk in the door. I'm sitting here in the entryway of the KFGO studios, which is not very big because Dan Gunderson tells me to hang tight. How about, I don't know, I'll call you when I'm on my way in. How about a text at 9:15 when you know you're not going to be here at 9:30? I could have been sitting on my couch eating brownies or something. Good gracious. Common courtesy, man.
So this is kind of in keeping with the weekend. I got called out on one of the video blogs as well.
You're about to get called out a lot more here. You got me fired up, man. I'm ready to go.
About to be thrashed.
Yes.
So I hope you're ready and enjoy this podcast because it's about to get taken off.
It's about
off
to
here.
Get real.
It really is. Brad is wearing a purple shirt, by the way, and his face when I saw him was about as purple as the shirt. He was fired up. But
yeah.
This is what I'm excited about because Brad tends to be a very calm, even-keel person. If you ever meet Brad Jones in person, you're not going to feel threatened by him in any way, shape,
thanks,
or form.
Appreciate that.
He's a nice guy.
Okay.
He really is. But when it comes to sports or me being an hour late, he gets fired up about it. He gets fired up about it, and it's fun for me because I like to see him get fired up and riled up, and I like to see what he brings to the table. I may get called an idiot a couple times on this podcast. It may happen.
It's a family-friendly show, folks, so we're going to stick with idiot. But
I'm excited about this.
All right.
So, obviously, we're just going to get into it right away, and we're, of course, going to start with
local.
All right, and you've been, you know what, you introduce all the topics around here. It's about time that I introduce one.
Because I have no problem with that.
In general, you're the full-time radio guy.
Yes.
So you come up with the topics, and we kind of have discussion and go through this ahead of time.
Yes, and it's a very much collaborative.
It really is.
Because
we do. We split topics, but I texted you on Saturday. I texted you about what I thought should be the first topic for today's show. And when you look at what the goals were, and we talked about this on last week's show.
And we're talking
what the goals are. NDSU, Kansas State.
Yeah, Bison football. NDSU won 24-21 if you didn't know.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Yes. If you're listening to this podcast, my guess is you probably know.
You have some idea what the final score was.
So anyway, we're looking at this game. When you're looking at the season, we talked about last week that in the grand scheme of things, there wasn't really a result that was going to matter big picture. Then this happened. And the entire Bison fan base, rightfully so, goes nuts. So there's a lot of people, of course, very excited about this game. I was very excited about it. You were down there, obviously excited as well. When looking at the big picture, the thing that we talked about that the Bison really wanted, of course, was that national championship. Now that this has happened, they got the win. They got it on the absolute perfect setup when it was the biggest news sports story, second biggest sports story of the night. Do the Bison take this win or the national championship this year? You can only have one. Which one do you take?
If you have to choose one.
Yep.
If you're NDSU. Now, am I answering this strictly from NDSU standpoint or if I'm a fan of NDSU? What am I answering this as?
Is the answer different?
I think it does differ.
Okay. Tell me both and explain why.
I think for the fan, Kansas State would trump the national championship, and here's why. Because Kansas State is special. Not that the national championship isn't, but NDSU already has two. What has got them more national publicity, the national championships, or beating Kansas State? And as a fan, that's what you like to see. Oh, man, we're lead story on ESPN. Oh, man, look at that picture from the Forum. Oh, man, they have us twice now. They have us once at the top of the hour, once at the bottom hour. Oh, man, that was great. Kansas State's one of these. And fans eat that up. Not saying that fans are dumb. Or to any point, anything like that.
Okay.
They're not idiots. They know what means more. But what would you rather have was the question. And from a fan standpoint, I think it was Kansas State. I think it was the victory against Kansas State. For NDSU, for the football team, absolutely the national championship. This is a nice little shiny moment that they get to put hang on the careers of the seniors. But they know the ultimate goal is January in Frisco. Because essentially the season to them is lost if they don't make it there. But for fans, not only that, it becomes a bragging point. Other schools around the nation, South Dakota State's, the UNDs, Nebraska Omaha's, University of South Dakota's, their biggest FBS wins are, some of them don't have them. South Dakota's against the University of Minnesota. For North Dakota State, fans can look at it and go, this win is so big from a fan's bragging rights standpoint in the fact that it made national sports news. And you have sports pundits blowing up Twitter
okay,
with it.
Sure.
So that's how I would answer that question.
Okay, and I think you're wrong, because I think it's the national championship, and I think fans would take that as well. The publicity is nice, and I actually tweeted Paulie Papst, who's the executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, about this question, and he said, which would you rather have? He said, the first gets you more publicity, but the second is more important. Meaning the K-State game, more publicity, national championship, more important. I put this out on my Facebook, had a few people respond. Every one of them said the national championship they would much rather have. And here's the deal. You don't hang up banners for a regular season win. You
it's
just
true.
Don't. You get the publicity. And again, this was almost the perfect storm. If this was a win against a top 10 program, if this was Appalachian State over Michigan, then I think I would probably rather have that win than a national title. Because the only reason that you remember who won the FCS title in 2007 is because Appalachian State's the one that did it. But
right.
what always gets brought up is that they beat number 5.
And there was a lot of articles nationally about this, about the FCS domination over the weekend in general. College
seven wins, I think.
And a top 25 win for Eastern Washington.
Yep.
Let's talk about that culmination, though. Because I thought it was unbelievable. I was on 740 The Fan this weekend on Friday, helping out with the Jack Michaels Show, and I was in Manhattan.
Caught some of that. Yep.
And one of the questions that came up was, how big is this game? And I said that it is almost in the perfect spot. This is huge, not only for NDSU, but it's huge for Fox Sports 1. Because they chose this game as the game that they were going to hang their hat on. This is the game that they moved from a Saturday, I think it was like an evening, maybe even an afternoon game Saturday. They went to both schools and said, can we make this our primetime feature game, first really full run at this thing on a Friday night and make it a big thing? It was the only really noticeable game that was out there. There were some other college football games, but no one's going to be able to tell you which ones there were on Friday. This game was the game
that
for Friday night.
That
played into it because...
But
when Eastern Washington beat Oregon State yesterday, where were they at the top?
I mean, it was Georgia-Clemson.
Right.
Was the top
exactly.
story.
Exactly. So
plays a part of it and why they've gotten a little bit more publicity for this game than they probably otherwise normally would. But again, you can't, and I don't think fans would put this win. It's fun. This win is fun for a week. It's fun for especially that night. A national championship, you can win that game and not be the best team in football that year. You want to be the best team in football. And I think I find it hard to believe you'd find many fans who would take the K-State win over this. Now, you're a little bit more emotional.
Yes.
I think
yes,
as a fan, you're a little bit more emotional.
That's absolutely correct.
And I think I'd probably tend to be a little bit, or at least try to be a little bit more kind of straight edge, kind of keeping, like you said, when you're not late, I'm generally a pretty calm guy.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't let the emotions get in quite as much. I was going nuts in my apartment. I had a couple guys from work over. We had a blast, and it was an amazing moment. Even an awkward man hug that was featured. It was great stuff.
Oh, boy,
when
I
they
wish
scored
there was
that
a camera
touchdown.
Present.
I know, right? But I don't think there's any way that you'd trade that for a national title and everything that goes with it. How many fans were down there? 5,000? Was that what they estimated?
Yeah, probably.
How many fans were down in Texas last year?
This is true as well.
I mean, I think fans take the national championship all day, every day.
The one thing that I do notice, and you brought it up, was the win over the national FBS school that everybody remembers. Because some guy for CBS Online wrote an article about why do teams keep scheduling NDSU. And it was kind of a game feature.
Yeah.
But one thing he talked about in there was the fact when Appalachian State beat Michigan, that's all anybody talked about. That's all anybody can remember.
Yep.
Appalachian State fans probably have a tough time recalling the team that they beat that year to win the national championship. And
that's I disagree
with you there. But you think about it, you can't. I can't.
Well, again, and that's why I would say that if it was a win over a top five, top ten team, I'd change my tune a little bit. Then I'd maybe take that win over the national championship because every time there's a talk of FCS, it's, oh, remember that time Appalachian State beat Michigan? And that's not going to happen with NDSU over K-State. The body of work of NDSU is starting to get a little bit more run, but not the K-State, not a top 25 team. And unless they just go nutso.
That's what I was going to say.
And unless they go nutso and win the Big 12, that's about the only way where you could even get me to reconsider a little bit.
Because in the end, if Kansas State, and this is kind of what may end up helping NDSU in the long run.
Oh, yeah, we should be huge K-State fans at this point.
And it sounds kind of funny, but that's kind of how we're – it's the same thing with basketball, where if a mid-major team beats a large team, you're just hoping, say, if NDSU went out and beat Notre Dame this year – you're just hoping Notre Dame goes nuts.
Yes, yeah.
Because that helps out everything. That helps out perception. That helps out so many different things. For NDSU, perception-wise, K-State goes about like 9-3 this year, wins a Big 12, gets at a BCS game. A lot of people are going, wow, how good is NDSU? If K-State goes out and lays an egg this year, goes like 6-5 or even worse, people are going, well, they didn't really beat a good K-State team.
And again, and that's probably where this is heading. I mean... In all likelihood with K-State, that's probably where this is heading. It's a 6-5-ish season.
If they don't get their run game turnaround, and I mean, it's either their run game isn't that good or NDSU's run defense is that legit. And I get Colin Klein was a big part of that, but John Hubert last year was 57 yards short or 47 yards short of 1,000 yards. He had over 900 some the year before that. Good running back. Can't find him on the sheet. I have the stats right here. John Hubert ran for something like 22 yards, Brad. 22 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into the game in a little bit, but the question you asked, what would you rather have? I'm going to stick with from a fan standpoint, and you disagree, but from a fan standpoint.
And let us know, again, at Pinto KFGO, tell him how wrong he is that if you're a fan out there, you know that you want the Natty Championship all
day. And
if
you think Brad Jones is right, at the Bison Guy on Twitter. Speaking of being wrong.
Oh, boy. All right, let's get into it.
Speaking of being really wrong, I, earlier in the year, said Brock Jensen was overrated.
Yes, you did.
We talked about
loud.
It. Oh, yes, very loud. We talked about it on here. I wrote an article about it on my Pintos Points blog on 740thefan.com. I thought all the accolades and the adoration being thrown at him preseason was a bit much. I really did. And then halfway through the game, third quarter, I believe, Brock Jensen throws a terrible interception.
Yes.
It was just looking really bad, and I'm going, okay, I might be right. Holy cow, I might be right. And then all of a sudden, it changed. It completely changed my perception of him and completely changed the entire outcome of the game. Brock Jensen didn't throw, and I have to check this, but didn't throw one more incompletion after that interception. Was perfect the rest of the way through. And you're looking, I mean, you have the stats in front of you, and I'm doing Twitter up in the press box, and there's nobody talking to me, throwing up the stat graphs or whatever. You're watching the game.
Yep.
And I just got back from Kansas. I'm not lying. So I haven't had a chance to actually go through and see that. But I'm almost positive that that was one of the things that was talked about up in the booth, was that I don't think Jensen missed a pass.
Okay.
And so he finished the game. Let's see, 14. Well, that's a halftime stat.
I say 21-30, I think, were his final numbers. 21 touchdowns, 30. One pick, a touchdown, one rushing touchdown, and like 12 carries for 5 yards, something like that.
Let's see here. I think you're right. I'd have to pull it up online. I'm looking at halftime stats. I grabbed whatever was laying around up in the press booth before I left. But he ends with the numbers you said, a couple touchdowns, the interception. It wasn't so much that. It was the 8-minute drive at the end of the game.
Yep.
The kind of drive that you look at, and that's just that drive culminated with the fact that his second half play after the interception was so extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the throws he made, some of the plays he made, it left me going, first off, I'm wrong. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay, loud wrong.
Very wrong. Absolutely wrong. I am so wrong.
Okay.
Wrong, wrong.
Thank you.
Wrong,
about
wrong,
time you play
wrong,
one of those
wrong.
Drops against yourself instead of against me.
Very, very wrong. So I apologize. This is an open apology on the podcast to Brock Jensen.
Let's get away from this here. You tweeted then after the game that Brock Jensen is the best quarterback in NDSU history.
And I will stick by that. And you're going to go off on me here in a second. But let me get this in.
Okay.
Before I get absolutely.
Get it quick because I'm ready to pop here.
Before I get just blasted against the wall for saying it. Before the season, I didn't think he was a horrible quarterback. I thought he was overrated. I thought that he had some issues that he led to NDSU losing. But what I saw on Friday night was something that I only think one other quarterback in Bison history might have had the opportunity to do, and that's Steve Walker. And I put Steve Walker above everything else. But what he did last night, Friday night, and I keep thinking it's Saturday, but Friday night against Kansas State in that last 8-minute drive to put his team on his back, no hurry-up offense, didn't look rattled, threw under pressure, was unbelievable. To me, that put him from maybe fourth or fifth in Bison history at the end of the season to I'm already going to put him as greatest ever. And go ahead, I'm going to stand back here, but go ahead. Let me have it.
Number one. Who was the fourth guy that I put up on the Mount Rushmore of NDSU football preseason?
Brock Jensen.
I believe that would be Brock Jensen. So I'm gonna strain my shoulder, patting myself on the back before we get started.
Deserves
here.
Deserves to
be up. Okay, now how do you go from overrated to best quarterback in NDSU history when you said halfway through the third quarter? So you're not even talking about a full game. You're talking about over a quarter and a half. You went from overrated to the best quarterback in school history
when
you had him fourth or fifth. He did what it takes to win the games. This is the same thing that I was yelling at you about a month and a half ago. And that it's what he did, that he had the capability to make big plays in big situations because that's what he's done for 2 years. Now, if you want to say that he doesn't have the passing ability of Steve Walker, because Steve Walker had the best numbers in school history, probably the best per game numbers, are pretty darn close to it. You know, he doesn't quite run like Jeff Bentram did. He didn't, you know, hasn't been named the best player necessarily even on his own team.
There's Kevin Feeney, nonetheless, in the entire
division that they played in, like both Bentram and Simdorn were. On your part, this makes you sound insanely wishy-washy. That all of a sudden, if you want to say, you know what, I was wrong, he's up there with the greats, but to go from he's my fourth or fifth best quarterback to after 20 minutes of football, he's the best ever? I mean, what are you doing, man?
Those 20 minutes of football, though, Brad, still will. Those 20 minutes of football aren't just 20 minutes of football easily forgotten. Those 20 minutes of football that he played might go down as single-handedly the best 20 minutes that any player has put together in Bison history.
Okay, but that's...
And to do that...
And that's fine,
on the
but
stage that he did it.
Okay.
To me, looked at it, and I'm going... And I was so wrong, and that's why I profusely said I was so wrong.
Okay.
That I feel justified in saying that he went from being overrated to begin the season to being now the greatest quarterback, because I was just so off.
Okay, stop.
Just so off.
Stop. You don't... What I'm saying is you don't have to go from A to to Z. I mean, there's room in the middle there for you to say, you know what, I was wrong. I want to see how this plays out, but he's definitely moving up the ranks. Who do you say is the best running back in NDSU history?
Lamar Gordon.
How do you not say Tyler Roll then? How was there a bigger stage than what Tyler Roll did against Minnesota when he put up a school record against the University of Minnesota?
The
greatest game in the greatest rushing game in NDSU history on the biggest stage that they had up to that point. How is Tyler Roll not your best running back?
You look at the body of work with Tyler Roll.
Oh, we're going body of work. Okay. Interesting.
You look at the body of work with Tyler
Roll. Two of the top three running games in history, okay. In school history.
But how do I put this? You look at the body of work and you also look at the fact that
only 2 years as the feature back.
He did it at a time when there really wasn't much to play for.
Oh, but yet Steve Walker was the best quarterback of all time, even though he did it at a time that there wasn't much to play for.
But with Steve Walker, there were games where he would single-handedly win it. Tyler Roll wasn't the guy who single-handedly
200 and some yards. He went over 250 twice. He single-handedly beat Minnesota.
Here's the other thing about that. That one of those runs, the 60-yard burst or whatever he had?
Oh, so 190 yards. That makes it that much worse.
It doesn't make it that much worse. What I'm trying to say here is I'm getting just completely destroyed.
Your arguments are awful.
If anybody's listening, they're just going, stop. But the reason that I think Lamar Gordon is the greatest ever, and again, this is completely arbitrary, but over four seasons he was able to do what he did in Division II. For Tyler Roll, I just don't think of him as that amazing of a quarterback, and it goes back to name recognition. A lot of people in Fargo,
because he's a running back and not a quarterback.
Well, regardless. Well, you're right. I mean, what time is it? It's like 10:45. I'm losing my mind here. Anyways, you're right in that concept, but be that as it may, the fact that Tyler Roll, to me, had great games, yes, probably top three running back of all time, but Lamar Gordon, over 4 years, had things to play for, did it in the playoffs. Tyler Roll had.
But Steve Walker, again, you can't make these separate arguments and how this argument fits here, but the exact same argument doesn't fit in the other place. I'm going to simmer down here for just a second.
Okay.
You have every right, and regardless of how much we disagree, you have every right to think whoever is your best quarterback of all time, whoever is your best running back of all time. And if you want to say Lamar Gordon is, that's fine. He's, you know, I think he's still the leading rusher in NDSU history, right?
Right.
I'm not saying that you're wrong there. What I'm saying is, if you're going to use the argument for Tyler Roll that he had nothing to play for, but then still name Steve Walker as your top quarterback of all time, even though he had nothing to play for, it doesn't work that way. You can't pick and choose when to use those specific arguments.
Okay. I see that, but in an arbitrary term, when you're talking about greatest ever, the separation between Lamar Gordon and Tyler Roll, I see where you can't make that, but that's how I set it up as in my mind, and that's how I separate them. And I get where you're coming from, saying, well, you can't just pick and choose what game means what or what matters. But to me, that's how I separate things.
I'm not saying you can't pick and choose what is more important, because you can. You can determine that a D1 championship is more important than a D2 championship if you want to move Jensen and put him at the top all time. That's fine. What I'm saying is, you can't take the same argument that you use for why it's more important for Lamar Gordon when he's playing in the playoffs and having big games in the playoffs, and use it against Tyler Roll, but somehow not use that same argument against Steve Walker. You just can't use that. If the games don't mean anything and that's a knock against somebody, then it's a knock against everybody that played in that era. It's not just, you know, a knock against one person who did, but not a knock against the other.
Okay. No, I see what you're saying, but in my mind, and now let's see if we can hash this out without saying completely, the running back position at NDSU, when you look at it and you put players, in my mind, in greatest ever, you have to look at so many different factors, and I think it's when they play to me that kind of puts that argument
not work for quarterback?
Because
then,
in quarterbacks and Bison history, the throwing quarterback does not exist. Steve Walker, tell me any other quarterback that has the type of passing yards that Steve Walker did. when you look at stats.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't. Does he even hold the single season, or does Tony Stauss still have the single season mark?
And I'd have to check that out. But I'm pretty sure it is Steve Walker. I know he's got most yards and buys in history, correct?
Yeah, because there's single season marks that Tony Stauss has.
I'd have to check it out, because I don't know if that's true, because I remember looking through the media guide that they put out.
Yeah, we may have to take a look at that.
But anyways, because of that, I think of the uniqueness of how Steve Walker played. His game was just so much different than the other quarterbacks that have been through buys in history. Not only that, you look at the way the offense has run under Bowl. It is not a 300-yard passing offense.
Okay.
Steve Walker came up with those games and did it because...
But still, again, you're not answering my question.
Well, no, I was...
Get there then.
Okay. Because Walker is such a unique player, that is why I make the separation of when games matter and when games don't. Rolls a running back, he's going to run for yards. I get that. But so did all the other running backs. There's no uniqueness to me about Roll. Outside, he had some big games against the University of Minnesota. But
again, the biggest game to that point.
To that point, but Lamar Gordon had big games at the biggest game to that point.
No, he didn't. He was in D2 playoff games, and they had played in, what, 8 national championship games before that? You cannot tell me that any of those playoff games he played in was bigger than a national championship game.
No, I can't.
You can't.
I really can't.
You really can't.
But to me, I make the separation with running backs because there are so many. And when it comes to quarterbacks, because of the uniqueness of Steve Walker and his stats, as ridiculous as this sounds, and I realize it does because I'm going to go back and hear it, but that is how I make the separation.
Okay. I'm not going to drill this point home anymore because I can't, but my gosh, does that not make any sense whatsoever.
You, right now?
Oh, my! He's on fire!
I am on fire. I'm on fire tonight. I'm not going
to
lie.
You kind of are, and I really need to do... a lot of this.
My God, are you still talking?
So let's talk about the game and get me out of hot water. Get me out of my grave.
Let's find something we can agree on at least a little bit. We may have to hug this out at the end of the show.
We may have
saying.
To. Yes, we may have to. So a 24-21 win, greatest drive and buys in history? Probably.
Ooh.
What do you think? Let's start there with the game, and then we can break it down from individual standpoints.
Man, I'd have to go back and do some research.
From a fundamental standpoint.
Thank you, Coach Kent Murphy. I want to go back and see what they've done in some of those national title games. I mean, that would be what I'd have to look at first. Because if they had a game-winning drive, a lengthy drive in a national title game, I'm still going to put that above the regular season game. I just will. It's nothing. I don't think either of the last 2 years in the national championship games had a drive like that. Georgia Southern was probably the closest in the playoffs. And again, I'd have to go back and look at some of the D2 championships to really say that for sure. But it's going to be in the conversation because. Yeah. And how about we turn this around? And maybe this may be a very quick answer. Has there ever been a bigger win in regular season history?
No.
The only game that I would say maybe on is the 2007 Minnesota game, just because of how many student athletes we had from there. Our first ever win over a program in a BCS conference. I don't really want to call Minnesota a BCS program. Program in a conference in the BCS. And the fact that, you know, again, there were 25, 30,000 Bison fans at the Metrodome. I think there's an argument to be made there. I'd say that was more of an announcement to D1 of, hey boys, we're here and we're for real.
The drive, you just think about it, when getting the ball, and I'm looking at when they got the ball here, they got the ball with 8:58 to go, 9 minutes, and they had to go 20 yards. They didn't
20 yards?
They had to go or 80 yards. They got it on their 20.
Yep.
To think about the third downs that they completed, four of them they had to do. It wasn't four straight, but they had to do four of them. A 3rd and 11 with a dump-off pass to Derek Lang. I know there was a third down that Jensen threw to Vra towards the end there. It even might have been a second down. He took a shot in the mouth on that one. Just methodical. 9 minutes.
That was a blitzer coming off the edge untouched. And he just, I mean, it was
He flicked
perfect.
It out there. Yep, it was perfect timing, perfect route, and everything. But everything that culminated to that point, you're down. I mean, it was a movie script type of drive. You get the ball with 9 minutes. You use the entire clock. There's no hurry. There's no worry. There's just one play after another. It's a run. It's a little nice pass here. It's a nice pass there. It's a run by Jensen. It's up the middle. It's taking this guy out. Okay. It was a complete and utter domination for the 8 minutes that they took up on that drive. 18 plays. The whole thing is just you watched it and went, my goodness, is this unbelievable?
Most underrated play of the game. Play that's going to get lost in all of this.
The fourth down conversion, and maybe it's not underrated, but the fourth down conversion in the third quarter when they're down 21-7. In the third quarter, it got reviewed a couple times, I want to say.
The quarterback sneak.
The quarterback sneak that continued the drive.
Okay.
Because at that point, at 21-7, NDSU doesn't take a lot of chances, but they take one there. And maybe it's not a calculated risk because they're on the other side of the 50, but you don't make that play. The run by Sam Ojeri goes for naught.
That was the play that I was going to say. I think that play gets completely lost in the shuffle here. As much as a 66-yard run can get lost in the shuffle. I mean, you know, who's talking about that?
Not a lot of people.
I mean, that was just an absolutely incredible play because at that point, and I'm sure the feeling in the stadium was probably the same as it was in my apartment, of, oh, expletive deleted.
Yep.
We're in a whole lot of trouble here.
And that 66-yard run came on the field goal, I should say, because the touch that came later as I'm looking at the play-by-play stat. Yeah, the 66-yard run came in that other drive. It wasn't the same drive as I was thinking. But be that as it may, NDSU had just given up a rushing touchdown to Sams, who had come in the game and just run right to the end zone, pretty much untouched, 17 yards. It's a fourth and one. It's the middle of the third quarter. I had tweeted out that if they don't score in this drive after the 21-7, I'm thinking game over because it was getting to that point. Another play that's going to get underrated and not talked about a lot is the kickoff at the end after scoring the touchdown.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Because they've been pooching it all night. And the reason being is the two kick returners for Kansas State are amazing. All-American kick returners. And they've been pooching it. And so Kansas State return guys were starting to creep up a little bit. Last kickoff, I'm thinking, do they pooch it here? And in my head, I'm thinking, well, they're going to have to.
And not being able to see, because again, I'm watching on TV, so I can't see that the returners have moved up for the second time. So they did the time to kick off before. And I'm saying, you know what? I don't care if Devin Hester's back there. Bomb this thing. Don't do it. I'm having visions of Sam Houston State doing that and Steve Walker throwing two completions to Cole Heckendorf for a win there. They bombed it. I mean, it was great, great coaching, great coaching.
And ended up with the touchback, the interception thrown after that. To me, we can put so many things on this. Yep. I mean, we could talk.
And I'm gonna put one more, and this isn't one set. This isn't one single play. This is a series of plays. How many times did Jensen bail out the center in shotgun snaps? How many
did
he pick away from his ankle? Did he pick up off his ankles and to the side? I mean, I can remember two shotgun snaps that hit him between the numbers. I mean, completely underrated how many times and how easily that could have been. He had a couple of very solid completions where he just, you know, he picked it up off the ground like whatever. And maybe he's been doing that the entire last month in practice.
You got to remember, Josh Colville is the new center.
Yeah.
And so Jesse Hines had played center a little bit a couple years back, didn't play at all last year due to injury. And my thought was, well, the guy understands center, he gets the position. Why not put him out there? But when Vegan and Bull had talked about, you know, starting offensive lineman, they wanted the best five. Yep. Not necessarily the guy who knew the position, but they wanted the best five, and Colville was the guy who ends up winning center. That could be part of it,
if this becomes a lingering issue, then we can talk about it later. I'm just saying that that's going to get lost a little bit on that, and there were a few of those that should have probably been disastrous that Jensen completely saved the game on a couple of those occasions.
The one thing that we can talk about, in my mind, Marcus Williams had a game where you saw him get burned a couple times. The one-on-one wasn't as spectacular as you'd want it to be, but you have to remember he's playing against NFL top talent, and he doesn't get a chance to play against that every day. And he did have the interception. Yeah. That was a nice play because that was a nice read undercutting the wideout. Bad throw by Waters.
Yep.
Very bad throw by him. He's got to be smarter than that. And then the play in the end zone where both kind of the wideout and Williams are going back and forth. But to me, it was good defense. They both were shoving. Williams did look back at the ball. The pump fake was his worst play of the night, where he got burned on the pump bit on it.
And here's the thing that could get him. He's still scared to tackle. They showed a play where the running back came out, and he took an incredibly wide angle specifically so that he wouldn't have to try to make a tackle. And they replayed that several times, and that's still a little concerning, and that's going to come back to bite the Bison at some point.
The rushing defense, and I have to bring this up before we move on before NDSU, we talk about a little bit about Ferris State. NDSU gave up a total of 41 yards rushing, and they didn't even have their best interior defensive lineman in the game. against Kansas State, a team that has a running back that probably should be reaching 1,000 yards this year. He's a very talented running back. 41 total yards. No Levon Perry.
Scary.
Oh, my goodness. Think of
Colton
that.
Colton Hegel. How about some hits that
he
made?
Oh, boy. Colton Hegel.
I mean, we got a lot of places we can go, and I know we got to move on, but my gosh, that boy did nothing but lift weights the entire time. I mean, he is large.
Oh, boy.
And that was he's going to be fun to watch as a missile rolling around in the secondary.
I'm looking at these stats. John Hubert had 22 yards rushing at halftime, had one more rushing yard. But the rest of the game.
To be fair, I don't know why they were running at all, because when they started passing, and you tweet, and that was a tweet that you had, I think, that, you know, what are they doing? Keep throwing. I mean,
right.
I don't know why they would stop throwing the ball, because they were carving the Bison up through the air.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even close. At the end of the day, this is probably, it'll be argued, one of the biggest wins.
I would say one of the two biggest regular season wins.
In school history. So we can go through that. We can go through probably one of the top five moments, the drive in school history. We could talk about the argument, however you want to phrase it, and I want to phrase it in a very odd, very argumentative way about where Brock Jensen now puts himself and why there's that separation as far as greatest quarterback. But whether you agree with my interpretation or Brad's or not, there is no argument that Brock Jensen is now one of the greatest, not the greatest if you don't want to say it, but one of the greatest quarterbacks
absolutely
in Bison history. So that without question is up there as well. Let's move on to next week for NDSU playing Ferris State. It's a Division II team,
not Montana State.
No, it
it's
isn't.
Not,
actually,
it's not 1-2 in FCS this week. Oh, okay.
Which
that's kind of a downer, isn't
Montana State bailed, and this is the makeup game that NDSU had to find.
Do you think that if there's any the next time the Bison schedule one of these games, that instead of a 100,000 or whatever, 125,000, whatever that buyout was, that they put the buyout as whatever amount of money is needed to finish the BSA? I think that should be the buyout for any future contracts that they put in there,
and it really should. And the team should show up that bailed out and put the shovel in the ground first, too, and be able to be ridiculed publicly.
I like that.
For bailing out, which Montana State did. And Montana State, I'll say it now, I'll say it again,
do you
scared.
Have a chicken sound effect on
this
somewhere?
I don't, unfortunately. But they were scared. They were absolutely terrified of playing NDSU. So NDSU went out and found Ferris State, which I believe is in Michigan somewhere. I'm not even positive. My question becomes, how long do the starters stay in this game? Because you can't totally disrespect Ferris State. I mean, we can.
They shouldn't, but I can.
But the team most likely won't. The starters will play, but how long? Because how bad does it look if Marcus Williams or some important player gets hurt in this game?
Here we go. Over under halftime.
Under.
So you're saying we're seeing the scrubs in the I shouldn't say scrubs. We're seeing the backups in the second quarter.
Yes, I really believe that.
I'm going to say no, but they're going to see a series or two in the third quarter and that's it.
I'm frankly excited to see what players get a chance to play against Ferris State. And then of course the next week against Delaware State. Cause my thing was
under 7 students left in the student section at halftime.
Oh, under 7.5. They're all gone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be packed. It's going to be raucous for like the first couple series, and then they're going to go, oh, it's 14-0. Okay, see you later. You know, it's going to be one of those games. You're going to get to know names like Pierre G. Tucker and Kerry Woods and guys like that, because I think they'll get a chance to play, because Esley Thornton, MJ Stumpf, those guys, they'll get a chance to get in and take some meaningful snaps. Carson
they
won't
get to see meaningful snaps.
Well, I say meaningful because it'll be game time snaps, but you're right. They're not meaningful because essentially they mean nothing.
Yeah.
Ferris State Division II and Delaware State, the same thing too. NDSU has 3 weeks to prepare for South Dakota State.
I was visiting with my younger brother, Travis, earlier today.
And what's his name?
Yeah, that kid. And you know, we were discussing Coach Bowl rolls over. Wife asked him, "Are you going to work tomorrow?" Yep. Does he really need to go in today? I said, yeah, he's going to go in. He's going to start watching South Dakota State game tape. And we're just going to run nothing but dive plays. By the way, I'm calling my shot here. John Crockett has a touchdown run of at least 60 yards in this game.
Okay, I'll give you that. What I want to say as we move on from this, because we don't really care about Ferris State or Delaware State, because it's just going to be, it's pear-shaped. They're going to, NDSU's prepared for South Dakota State, but.
Can we get a bell every time you say pear-shaped?
We probably should. Just a little ding.
Yeah.
Little bell. South Dakota State plays the University of North Dakota this upcoming weekend. That, to me, is a big game for the University of North Dakota. As long as we keep it in-state, and we're not, we rarely talk about the University of North Dakota. But the reason I bring it up is because last week on Mike's show on KFGO, there was a guest host by the name of Corey Mock. Okay. He's a representative state out of Grand Forks, and he's a North Dakota graduate, University of North Dakota graduate. His friend had texted him and said the University of North Dakota has a tougher schedule than NDSU, which is completely wrong. But when I looked at the schedule for their football team, it's actually pretty fair. In fact, it's almost one-sided where they only play four road games, and the four road games they play are against pretty bad teams from last year. UND, to me, this game is huge for them because if they go into this game with any hopes that they might make the playoffs, they need to win this game or at least show up for it. Brad, do you agree?
I think it's an important game for them to get a little bit of excitement about their football program.
That's another thing, too.
We're in the Fargo market. I don't really follow UND that closely. Anytime you get these non-conference games, it's going to be important, especially if SDSU is going to be decent this year.
Picked to finish second in the Missouri Valley.
That's a big game.
The Big Sky is comparable in the fact that they have a lot of top talent like Missouri Valley does, which Northern Iowa all of a sudden now looks really scary after beating Iowa State. That game at the beginning of the season, I was going, maybe. Now I'm going, oh, boy. NDSU has a tough stretch after Delaware State and Ferris State. But this game, to me, not only that, you have an opportunity, UND fans, and I'll call you out now. I don't know what the final numbers were for that game against Valpo, but I think the word embarrassing needs to be put on the fan show out, the fan turnout for this game. Saw a picture, there was maybe five people. It looked very embarrassing.
More or less
UND
embarrassing
fans
than South Dakota State's playoff attendance last year.
What was it?
I want to say it was like 5,000 for their first ever D1 home playoff game.
That's embarrassing as well. I'll give you this, though. They were playing over Thanksgiving break.
NDSU did that their first year. And they had, I think, a smaller crowd of 13.
That's true. I still think that, to me, I give people a pass when it's over Thanksgiving break. And Brookings, again, you have to remember, a lot of those Bison fans are going to be people coming back. Fargo's a much bigger town than
That's
Brookings.
True. I'll
and,
give you that.
And Brookings is a very rural town. When their college is not in session, I think it's maybe as big as Valley City. You know, and that's stretching, but it's not a big town. So with NDSU, you get some fans that are going to kind of come in, trickle in because
playoffs.
I get it.
Playoffs.
I see what you're saying. It is embarrassing. But to me, this is even more embarrassing as I try to look up the attendance. UND fans need to show up for this game because it's a big game for them. But we're moving on. I digress. I'm kind of burned right now, frankly, but we'll move on because I just got torched a couple times. But we'll move on. 9,000 was the attendance. UND Valpo, but we'll move on.
So they got more than the playoff game again for SDSU.
Right, but I think 9,000 is a very stretching it kind of number.
Yeah, fair enough. That's tickets sold, not AIS.
Yeah, nobody's taking a number. Yeah. We moved on to the regional. If you didn't hear it, let's get the voice guy in there again.
Regional.
There we go. What we want to talk about regional-wise is a couple things, and we'll get through them quickly because we're running out of time. We're running short in the late edition of the podcast, and Brad's got to
I'm
get
old.
Home.
I got. I,
He's
got to
get home
to
his brownie
bed,
and milk, I think, or something like that. Brownies and milk, and watch whatever it is, Golden Girls or whatever it is he watches at night. Yeah, I'm
Frasier. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Niles. So, the one thing I want to talk about right away, Justin Morneau being traded to the Pirates. I called that one, in fact, but I didn't call it happening the last day possible before trade waivers and every other kind of trade would have not been eligible.
I was gonna say, I think you said
Pittsburgh was the most ideal spot, and that was where I wanted to see him go.
Yeah. Technically, we said whose uniform would he be wearing on August 1st? And yep. I said a Minnesota Twins uniform.
And I think you're right in that regard.
Yeah.
So you're more right than me. Doesn't matter. Do you like the trade is the question.
I wasn't paying a lot of attention, and I should have been a little bit more on if this prospect is worth anything. And this is something we kind of talked about, too. I don't know if the Twins would have kept him if he'd have left via free agency. Would they have gotten any sort of a draft pick?
And no, I don't think they would.
If they wouldn't have, then I like the trade just to get something, anything. From the Pirates side of things, if the guy's a marginal prospect, okay. But, I mean, they're, you know, again, over this 1 month slice of season, if you're giving up a prospect of any that you had any sort of hope for, and you're looking at a guy who's going to give you maybe three more hits over the course of a month than the guy who you would have over there. In that sense, I don't like it. I know we're kind of rehashing the arguments that we made, because you're going to step in and say, well, they haven't done it in forever, and you need something to give them a jolt, and this is going to be the jolt.
Right.
Because, again, we've made this argument before. But, you know, for the Twins, yeah, if you were going to get nothing and instead now you get something.
I think it's good for Justin Morneau to have an opportunity to be on a team.
Love, Justin's been my favorite Twin.
Class act, yep. And you see that there's never been a person in the media that's questioned what he's done for the team, and even coming back from the concussion. And it's so sad to see a guy that looked to be on his way to having possibly a fringe Hall of Fame type career with where he was going before the concussion. Yeah. Because the year he got the concussion, he was having MVP type season. Yeah. To be a shell of himself, to come back and do something for his team. To get a chance to go on and play meaningful games for the last month.
Happy for him.
Good for him.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I take from it.
I mean, I liked the Pirates story before and was rooting for him before. I'm a full-fledged Pirates fan for the next month and however long they last beyond that.
It makes it easier. It makes it better for a fan, baseball fan, to cheer for the Buccos, because they've been so bad for so long and you just want to see them be good. Not only that, you think of Frankie Laureano, who might be in Cy Young discussions.
That's true.
For Pittsburgh, the way he's been pitching lately, and it has been
he's been good. I think
he's
that's
been
a stretch,
very consistent,
been,
very consistent all year long. So to me, I like it. Happy, glad it's happened, and we'll move on from that. Let's talk Vikings and our expectations for the Minnesota Vikings, because in all this hoopla,
we got some bets to put up. Which, hey, by the way, the first wager that we've had concluded belongs to you,
and I can't
victory.
I can't remember what it was now.
I had K-State. K-State minus 6.5.
Oh, yes.
And you had the Bison plus 6.5. So
that's right. I covered the spread.
So you got the outright win. So
that's true.
Good
so.
For you. And I've never been happier to lose one. I will take that all day. I'm fine with that.
Okay. So, I like it.
But you're up 1-0. We got to get a spreadsheet or something up on the Pinto and White Shadow Show blog.
Just to see who wins. Yeah, that's true.
To get that up. We'll have to work on that. I know you've got all the audio clips up there of the wagers that we've made. We'll have to find a spreadsheet. By we, I mean you, because I'm not going to do it.
Vikings football, they kick off this Sunday or next Sunday.
Sunday, the 8th.
And of course, I cannot remember who they're playing to start the season. We're going to have to check that out.
I believe it's Detroit.
You're right. It is Detroit, because they go Detroit and then Chicago.
Yep.
Let's do this. Let's just put out an outright, how do we think they're going to do? I think they're going to win the division. You don't. You think, in fact.
You've got them 11-5, right?
I didn't say that on the podcast, but I'll go ahead and say it now on the podcast.
I don't want to pressure you into it because you said they were 10-6 last year. You think they're going to be better.
I will go 11-5. I think they'll be better.
Tell me why you think they're better this year than last year.
I think they're better this year than last year because they have gotten their rookies from last year have gotten a year older, more experienced. They are more comfortable with their role. Guys like Matt Khalil, Harrison Smith. I think Kyle Rudolph is a guy offensively that can change things. I think he's going to have a big year. I think it's going to make Christian Ponder much more comfortable. And we'll get into the quarterback situation in a minute, because that could get hairy. I think that Cordero, however you want to pronounce his first name, doesn't matter to me, Patterson, will be an X factor, will change games with his speed. I don't know if he gets the offense so much yet because he is a rookie, but when he gets an opportunity to get his hands on the ball, I think he'll change games. And then, of course, the ultimate factor is Adrian Peterson. I think he just changes everything for defenses, because you had to realize at some point last year they're putting 8-9 in the box. They still can't stop him. And he was the reason they went to the playoffs, so on and so forth. So that is why I think they'll be one more game
better. How many yards do you think Adrian Peterson rushes for this year?
I think he goes for 1,600 because I think the offense is going to be much more balanced. I think 1,600, and that is my ultimate top. 1,600 or less, I think, would be somewhere between 1,600 and 1,400.
That's a lot of yards that they're losing.
It is.
That's a lot of yards that they're losing.
It is. I think they gain it back through passing. I think the passing game upgrades a little bit. Yes. Really? Better wide receivers, and I think Christian Ponder
will
be better.
Better wide receivers? I disagree.
Greg Jennings isn't an upgrade over Jerome Simpson at your one.
He's not an upgrade over Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin didn't even play last year, so he wasn't really a factor in how the team
did. Percy Harvin played half of the season.
Yeah, and they were better in the second half of the season. The stretch of games, they won four straight to get to the playoffs.
But in that stretch, their passing game was not better.
It was against Green Bay the last game of the season.
The numbers.
The one game. You're right.
For Ponder with and without Harvin, huge difference. I don't think Greg Jennings is Percy Harvin.
No, I don't either. But Greg Jennings is a better possession one receiver than Jerome Simpson. Patterson, to me, is the guy who replaces Harvin. He will not be Harvin talent-wise yet. But I should say talent-wise, but he's not ready to do what Harvin did for this Vikings offense.
I don't see enough of an upgrade to think that they're actually going to win more games. To me, this is an 8-8 team at best.
And you want to go 8-8?
I've got 8-8. I don't think they can repeat what they did last year. I don't think Adrian Peterson. And again, last year was phenomenal, but asking someone to repeat the second greatest rushing season ever, I don't think you can do. I don't think Ponder has gotten so much better. Kyle Rudolph, yeah, he had 9 touchdowns, but he also had less than 500 yards receiving when they needed desperately somebody to be able to catch the ball. And he caught a few touchdowns, but he wasn't the tight end that they needed him to be. I don't know that, you know, in this glowing, yes, from year one to year two, everybody's going to be better. I don't think you can say that. I think that's asking too much, and I don't have enough confidence in either Ponder or Castle to get the job done, to get the Vikings to the playoffs. Oh, I don't see that.
Okay, let's go through their schedule quickly, and you tell me win or loss.
Okay, No, I'm not going to do that because we went through this last week and we said, how many games are they going to be favored in? We did this after the podcast last week.
Yeah.
And we came up with 6 games that they would be favored in right now. 6.
Right. I thought it was more. I feel like you're giving teams that
we tried, though. We went through this and we tried. There were a couple that we disagreed on and I gave them to you. And we came up with 6.
Okay. At Lions, at Bears, I think the Vikings are favored week one, and they're not favored week two.
Okay.
And I think that Browns and Steelers at home, I think they're favored for both those games, although the Steelers one, I want to say, is in
the Steelers one's in London, and the Vikings will not be favored over Pittsburgh.
Not in a neutral territory.
Okay.
So 2-2 before the bye. They bye at home Panthers. They're favored. At Giants, they're not. That's 3 favored. Well, I'll keep track of the favored. You keep track of the other ones. 3 favored. Home against the Packers,
they
not
favored.
They will not be favored. On the road against Cowboys, won't be favored. Will be favored at home against the Redskins, in my mind.
I'll give you that for now, but I disagree. I think Redskins get favored in that.
Seahawks, Packers, back-to-back weeks on the road, won't be. Bears at home, yes. The Bears will be in Minnesota. I think they're favored in that one. At the Ravens,
no.
No, right now as we look at it, not. Eagles at home, yes. At Bengals,
no.
I agree. And then Lions at home against Detroit.
That's okay, so best, 7 their favorite. At best, 7. And I quiver with you, disagree with you on a couple.
PA believes, and I do too, that they won't lose
PA,
at home.
Good gracious.
PA called this team going 10-6 last year preseason and got it right.
And they got every single – I mean, they got
– everything went right. I get it. Okay. I say 11 wins this year, and I think they're going to come with some big wins on the road.
Okay, let's middle ground here. Let's put a number on the board. I'm saying 9.5 wins.
Okay, I will take the over.
Under all day, and I'm taking your lunch money.
Okay, there it is. Lock it in. There it's done. Let's move on now.
By the way, over under week 8 for Matt Castle becoming the starter.
Ooh. That's a good question. You want to do... Okay, over, under, week 8, him becoming... I'm going to go over. I'm going to say it's past week 8.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be
you,
more before...
You have to, because if in the in a scenario where the Vikings win double-digit wins, either he's going out week 2 or he's your starter the entire way.
Right.
I mean, those are your options.
Do we go before... Should it be more before or after?
Whatever, okay. Before or after. You say after.
I say after. You're going to say...
You know, I think I agree.
Okay.
But not by much.
And we probably could revisit that one week 1, too.
Yeah.
After the first week and go, oh, boy, it looked bad. So, all right, let's move on to...
National.
We're still in the NFL. We'll stick there because I want to get to Johnny Manziel because I have opinion on this. We have to pick our Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
We're our Super Bowl champions. Super Bowl champions.
Conference champions.
Conference champions right now. Brad's are the Denver Broncos and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yep.
Who wins in those games?
That game,
the Super Bowl.
That one. I'm going to say Denver just because I have much more confidence that Denver's going to get there than I do Atlanta. I think the NFC is a gauntlet, and I think there's 5 or 6 teams that could make the Super Bowl out of the NFC.
I think
AFC, you're looking at New England, you're looking at Denver. And I know you have Houston, I think, is the team that you have in there. And that's kind of a dark horse. They're a little bit of a, you know, they're the perennial underachievers, I guess, up to this point. Those are the two teams. Barring injuries, I don't really see any other team hopping up in there.
So you have Denver.
I'm going to take Denver just because, again, I've got much more confidence that they're at least going to make it through their conference and make the game than I do Atlanta.
I have the Niners and the Texans going. I'm going to say Niners.
I would hope so. The consensus Super Bowl picks for most people out there is Denver versus the Niners. So, I mean, I guess it's fitting that we have those two teams as our choices. But
I like Colin Kaepernick. I like the team. I think that they're going to win. Easy pick for me, easy pick for you, because there's really no, because again, like you said, the AFC is just so bare bones. I mean, the Ravens, I don't think, are going to be as good as they were last year. And even last year, they were a wild card team anyways, and Joe Flacco
got
fired.
And that's why this is so hard to pick.
It really is when you're before week 1. And even at week 17, you're going, oh, yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, then there's the Giants, and then there's the Packers.
It becomes a mess. All right, we have a few minutes left here before we get into overtime, which is fine because we really don't care. We try to set it at an hour, but we routinely, consistently go over the hour. National stage... College football goes off last weekend or this weekend with big games all over the place. Biggest upset in your mind, Brad, outside of the one in Manhattan was?
Probably Eastern Washington.
And again, we can go back to the fact that the Friday night spotlight for NDSU worked out in benefit because they were the lead story. Eastern Washington.
Buried.
And it does have to do with location as well because the national media doesn't really pay a lot of attention to the northwest corner. The other thing, too, is Oregon State's a ranked 25, but they gave up so many yards. I think at the end of the season, Oregon State is going to be one of those teams that might end up 7-4, 6-5, and really was overranked.
Man, and there's always those teams, but when it comes to this game, the fact of the matter is they were ranked at
25, and Eastern Washington did beat
them. So that would be my game.
Best game, probably Clemson, Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Was really good, and I was very... impressed with Clemson, which, by the way, their schedule now, pretty easy the rest of the way. They have Florida State on there later in the season, and they end the year against South Carolina. If Taj Boyd, if Sammy Watkins, the wideout, who's probably going to be a first-rounder when he enters the NFL draft, if those guys can keep their connection, stay healthy, Clemson's going to be a team to watch out for. The one thing I wanted to get to was Johnny Manziel. Now, the whole thing with him signing autographs for money, the NCAA did their investigation, Texas A&M did their investigation, and all that came out of it was the guy was suspended for a half.
Hold up. Okay, I'm sorry, and I know I'm jumping in on you here. How hilarious was it when the chancellor of Texas A&M was asked, did you see that interview that
he did? Go ahead.
When reporter's talking to him, he says, I'm 100% confident that Johnny Manziel, I believe his story, that he didn't do anything. The reporter asks, a wonderful question. Did you talk to Johnny Manziel? And the guy said, I didn't have to. So you completely believe his story, even though you haven't even talked to the kid. I found that to be hilarious. Hilarious.
I think Johnny Manziel being suspended for a half is one of the biggest jokes in the world.
Yes.
We used to do this in high school. You break curfew, you don't play for the first half. You get away with signing autographs, whether he did or didn't, I don't care. You get away with signing autographs for money. Nobody can find any hard evidence about it. Well, you caused too much of a ruckus. One half.
And this is an absolute joke. There's the funny part about it is that the reason they suspended him. Do you know the reason they suspended him? What it was?
I'm having a hard time recollecting.
They suspended him for failing to protect his likeness and allowing somebody else to profit off of it. Is basically what they suspended him for. Who else has been doing that? Who else has been profiting off his likeness? I believe that would be the NCAA and Texas A&M.
I feel like they both have.
They were, what, charging $20,000, $30,000 a plate at Texas A&M to have a dinner at Johnny Manziel's table?
College game day, the guy who runs it, it's not Fowler. What's his name? Who was the head guy with Lee Corso and Kirk Herbstreit?
Chris Fowler.
Oh, yeah. It is Fowler. Yeah. Brought up a great point. He said he was being told that he was going to get on a plane and go visit this corporation. He was being told.
So
for Texas A&M, he was going to go and visit this booster. It wasn't, hey, Johnny, you want to do this for us? It was, Johnny, you have to do this for us.
So basically, the NCAA could suspend him for not getting the NCAA in trouble with themselves by profiting off of his likeness.
Right.
Hilarious. I thought there were two possible outcomes of this suspension. Either they were going to find the money and he was going to get knocked for at least half the season, or they were going to find nothing and they weren't going to suspend him at all. They suspended him. They gave him a 30-minute timeout.
Yep.
They sent him to his room for 30 minutes.
The whole thing is just awful, and it's funny because Manziel isn't an idiot and he gets it, and he's going, boy, I have a lot of power right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he realizes that.
When the chancellor comes out and says, oh, I believe his story. He did nothing wrong. Have you talked to him? Nah.
You think about the NCAA itself. You think about Texas A&M as a university. You think about all the money these two entities are making off of this one guy. And he's going, you guys don't get it. I rule this. I rule this place.
Yeah.
Against Rice in the second half, he had a wonderful second half. But he was being very cocky. He was doing the sign for money, rubbing his fingers together. He was saying he was miming, writing, you know, autographs. Towards the end of the game, they scored a touchdown. Rice players were barking at him. And he turned around and pointed at the scoreboard, got a personal foul.
One of those taunting. Three things is defensible.
The pointing at the scoreboard is.
That's right.
He got benched for that.
Whatever. If Rice is, if the opposing team is down, how many ever points they were down at that point, and they start chirping, and you turn and point to the scoreboard, you bet all day. You know what? If you're losing, shut up.
Right.
You know, the signing autographs and the other stuff. Is there a bigger middle finger that you can give to the NCAA?
And I mean,
is
love
there
it.
Anything?
And I love it because in the end, Johnny Manziel, and I've talked about this with a few players. I hope he has one of the greatest seasons in college football history. And I really do. I hope he just goes out there and absolutely tears up every college football opponent. And then at the end of the season, here's my greatest hope, is at the end of the season, he gets to New York City. He gets invited to the Heisman. And by some miracle, because every sports writer out there hates him because of his attitude and he needs to act mature, they for some reason just cannot ignore him, and they give him the Heisman. And he walks up on stage and he looks at him and says, I don't want this award. And just walks out.
Yeah. Okay. Drop the mic. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, everybody hates him because he's so cocky. But the fact is that everybody is profiting off of him. He realized that he just wants a chunk of the change. That we can get into about the NCAA being completely corrupt.
Yeah.
But what my biggest issue is that he's cocky. He's good. Why is it that he's being hated because he's cocky? Everybody wants the great athlete to be Tim Tebow. Everybody wants the great athlete to be so humble and so thankful for his gifts instead of saying, hey, look at me. To me, I think it's completely okay for Johnny Manziel to say, hey, look at me, because Texas A&M and the NCAA have been saying, hey, look at our guy. Look at our golden boy. Johnny Manziel should have every right to go, yeah, look at me. Look how good I am.
And that's just it. I don't know that he should have every right to, but the university can't say, hey, look at him, and then What are you doing? Don't say, look at me. I mean, you can't, again, you can't have it both ways. You gotta either say, look at this team, and then if he says, look at me, you say, no, we look at the team. Or you say, yep, look at him, and he can say, yep, look at me.
This season for Texas A&M could go completely pear-shaped very soon because the coach is, the coach is not going to have a control of that locker room because it's going to become Johnny Manziel and the Aggies.
Does he win the Heisman?
No, absolutely not.
If I give you Johnny Manziel and Jadeveon Clowney versus the field?
I would say the field.
Okay.
Because it's a defensive end who I guess didn't have a really good game against North Carolina. I heard he was pretty sluggish.
They thought he was out of shape, yeah.
Yeah, which is
I didn't really see a lot of that game. So
and then that's a defensive player, plus Johnny Manziel's not going to get. Johnny Manziel.
Do you have a Heisman favorite?
Teddy Bridgewater right now from Louisville, especially after tonight. He threw for like 3 bones. Ohio stinks, but he threw for 3 bones and a few touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater to me is up there. Taj Boyd as well. But the writers are the ones who decide the Heisman. They're the past winners, and so Manziel might get one vote.
He's himself.
Yeah, that's about it. To me, Johnny Manziel is the equivalent of the guy who took steroids in baseball. Won't get into the Hall of Fame. Johnny Manziel has completely put himself in a position where he's not going to get votes, regardless of the season he has, because writers are going to look at his personality and say, "I don't want this kid on there." Like the NCAA or
Dan Gunderson. I'm sorry, I know you're on a roll. I have to stop you. That's one of the best comparisons I think I've heard you make on 9 episodes of this show. That was phenomenal.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I have to play this. This is one of my favorite drops. Watch it.
Forgive me. I'm blowing your mind.
What's that even from?
Vanilla Sky with Tom Cruise. It's an awful movie. That's the greatest line I've ever heard. I'm watching this movie. The greatest line ever. And that's how we have to end it. So the Johnny Manziel thing, it's bad for the NCAA. I hope Manziel has a great season, and I hope he ends up getting invited to New York and dropping the mic, essentially. That's how I see it playing. So, well, that's the 9th 009 podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Thank you, Brad. Has calmed down. He got his feelings out. I got completely shredded.
Do we need to? We need to hug this out
for a half.
I think, you know what?
Should we hug it out? Let's hug it out.
There we go.
We're good. So, the man hug happened and wasn't awkward. It was completely right and felt okay all around. Next week we'll probably be talking about Fair State and what we saw for about 5 minutes because it's going to be a complete blowout.
Yep.
They'll have the bye. We'll probably end up getting into a lot more NFL.
A lot of
football.
NFL because the plan is from here on out to record these shows after the bulk of the game. So we'll probably record it during the Sunday night game.
During the Sunday night game, I think, is the hope after kind of around supper time, 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And we'll have to stick with that regardless if I'm on my way back from Kansas and get caught in traffic or
so
not.
So we're going to set it for 6:30. I'll be here about 7:30 and I'm sure you'll walk in around 8 o'clock.
That's probably how it'll work. So we'll get into NFL next week. Probably talk the UND-SDSU game because I think it has a lot of meaning for both teams. And probably more college football as well. It's going to be fun. We're really getting into it. And this was a podcast. The reason we're doing it so late is because we wanted to do it so bad. I think we had a lot of things we wanted to talk about anyway. So we wanted to get this done, get it out there. And it's going to be fun. The next few months are just going to be unbelievable. We're sports geeks. So it's not going to be that, but when the NBA starts up again and then college basketball, baseball playoffs, you're all going to be able to listen to it right here. So, again, thank you for listening. If you have any comments or questions, hit me up at Twitter, at PintoKFGO.
At the Bison Guy.
And email us, pinto.whiteshadow@gmail.com. And or on Facebook, any and all comments are welcome. So, again, thank you so much for tuning in to the 009 podcast. Have a wonderful rest of your day. How you like me now? How you like me now?